Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, December the 10th, 341st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, one of the new lieutenants. Another one. This is like 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
We have any more?
Not right now.
Not going to bring in JR and just say, hey, he kind of looks like he's new.
Break him out of the closet.
Yeah. Nope. Okay,
no
fine.
Plans like that.
Kevin Miller joins us this afternoon. He's the guy that's handling the north end of the county. Last week, we talked about the south end. This week, we're going to talk about the north end, some of the different challenges that are going on. Also, we'll get an update about what's going on out there as far as Kevin is aware at this point and some of the things, some of the do's and the don'ts. Some of the things not to go stupid about, and he's here because all the really important guys are at the meeting right now at 3. So we'll figure out what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do, and where we're supposed to do it when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kevin Miller out of Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Henry Ford, sometime between 1863 and 1947. Quote, obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. Okay. Yeah, tough to kick a field goal that way. Oh, so what are you hearing out there, man? Is there anything that's getting the department's attention early on with this series of storms coming through?
Not so far. There hasn't been any major reports of any slides or road closures. We're just keeping an eye on things and seeing where the storm takes us.
What's the biggest concern that you're anticipating at this point?
Well, we're really keeping an eye on the Eel River and the Van Dusen Rivers. We're worried about some flooding in those areas.
Well, that's kind of historical. I mean, it's kind of pretty tame stuff there. I think for a lot of folks, if they haven't seen, and I guess this is native speaking, a good flood. when do you start putting in some restrictions getting out into Ferndale or moving around in the valley? Is it when flood stage is declared? It's when you start seeing that the water's getting up high to the roadbed or the decks? Where is it that you guys start going, oh, okay, it's time to start acting?
Well, we're already putting things into play right now. I mean, as we sit here and speak, there's a planning meeting going on between key stakeholders such as PG&E, Cal Fire, NOAA, CHP, and agencies such as that, agencies that would be called in to help respond to problems that we anticipate may come.
Oh, so this is, that's interesting. I would have thought that would have happened periodically, once a quarter, every, whatever, and that the meeting would have been, okay, guys, here's what we're looking at, and just get everybody on the same page rather than still kind of bringing everybody together.
Well, when I say they're bringing everybody together and stuff, yeah, we have these meetings all the time, definitely. I mean, there's actually a manual that's already kind of like a general guidelines for flooding or flooding events. So, yeah, this has been talked about well in advance of this. Now we're just bringing everybody in, bringing them up to speed, confirming that they have the resources available to help us, and then seeing how we can all work together to get it done.
I would think one of the neat things right now is that there's no wind.
Yes.
If that happens, if we do get the blows up over 60 that they were talking about yesterday at this time, how much more does that complicate your planning and where you're going to be positioning the officers and anticipating and what they're out there with?
Well, it's certainly going to throw some complications into it. You're looking at down power lines, trees, road closures, in addition to any roads that may be affected by high water. But again, these are all things that we've already planned to respond to. It's more of a question of not how to respond, but where to respond, and that's what we're kind of waiting on.
One of the things I used to, who was it? Altizer. When Ralph was out of the Arcata office, we would talk about times like this.
Yeah.
And at that point, he was able, with the old cruisers, that the CHP guys could go around literally with a chainsaw and be able to cut, you know, not cords of wood, but big enough chunks. So if branches had come down across the highway, they weren't having to call somebody to come out. They just zip, take care of it, push it to the side, let somebody clean it up later on, but not impede traffic. Does the sheriff's office also, do you guys get toys like that so that you can take care of some of those things and not rely on public works having to bring out a dump truck or a bulldozer or even just a snowplow and throw something down?
Right, yeah. A lot of our special services units, the deputies who are assigned to our livestock units and to our search and rescue crews and our boating units, a lot of them have specialized equipment such as that. I know you wouldn't think there'd be a chainsaw on a boating unit.
No, I'm thinking, boy, that's truck, the one I would want to be on right now.
They do a lot more than just take the boats out in the bay. So, yes, we do have some. And some of the deputies, in fact, have them in their vehicles too.
When are you guys going to start giving updates to the motorists about unsafe conditions? Is it a certain amount of water on the roadway where you just have officers positioned in certain areas with like the flashlights and that kind of stuff just to slow folks down? And you know, we're already hearing a lot of collisions. I almost made a Ron Waters faux pas. crashes accidents, yeah. But collisions out there because people are driving when brain dead.
Yeah. You're already actually seeing that happen. There's been, we've had at least one press release put out. We're anticipating probably another press release later this afternoon. And in addition to that, the other agencies that are involved in this, such as Highway Patrol and such, are putting their own information out. I think if you drive along the 101 corridor and see the Amber Alert boards, they're already cautioning motorists that it's winter road conditions, drive safely, watch out for rocks. All that good stuff.
Do all the stuff you're supposed to pay attention to.
Yeah, exactly.
Speeding, is that one of the biggest concerns you have right now?
Certainly. Yeah, these the roads get really slippery. There's debris in the roads. So those are all things that definitely complicate things.
And throw in a little darkness just for good measure.
Oh, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Maybe. Got to find a pen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 324. We're back to Dog Shop this afternoon with Lieutenant Kevin Miller from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Did everybody get new shirts and nobody brought me one?
Oh, yours is in the mail.
I'm seeing these snappy black shirts that are showing things. And, of course, Danny always shows up with his vest because he knows he needs to be protected.
Yeah.
But everybody else is kind of wearing the nice shirt here. I just didn't know if I missed that. That press release talking about the new uniform or not. No?
It's our administrative uniforms.
So, right. Yeah. Kevin, as you're looking at this weekend, what are the things that you guys are putting extra attention on? Is there anything specific, or are you just going to be out there driving around trying to get everybody else to drive smart, pay attention, don't be stupid, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much operations as normal. Be out there, be a visible presence in the communities, slow traffic, identify problems, like such as downed trees or flooded roadways or intersections.
What can you do or what can't you do, let's say, if there's more than a safe amount of water on a roadway? Can you stop? Do you put flares would be stupid. Ooh, yeah, watch that flare go floating downstream. Like, can you divert traffic? Can you take it from two lanes down to one lane, shuttle folks through, that kind of stuff? If it's, let's say there's a foot of water running over a roadway for, let's say it's expected to be the next couple of hours or so.
Yeah, I mean, most of those things are all options that we have available to us. About the only one would probably be actually escorting vehicles through there, because you don't want to drive through any water that's, you know, above a roadway. It takes very little water to actually pick up and carry a large-sized vehicle. So, and plus, you can't see what's below it most of the time, so you don't know if the road's washed out and suddenly you're driving and fall down in a hole.
That's why you leave.
Not a good thing.
You leave.
That's why I leave.
I've seen a couple of those types of experiments where you see like a four-door car, and it looks like there's 2 or 3 inches of water, and all of a sudden you don't see the car.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at that. Do you sense that people really appreciate what that is, what a tree branch falling can, you know, how much power and energy there is there? Some of those types of things that look very, very tame.
Yeah, they can be deceiving, definitely. You know, unfortunately, some people get caught up in the moment and don't always recognize the hazards that they're putting themselves in or that's in front of them.
If there is debris on the road, rocks, mud, that kind of stuff, is that something that's a 911 call? Is that something you guys want to know about? With all the action that might be going on at the time, it would seem weird to say, hey, there's a 6-inch rock in the middle of, let's say, Blue Slide Road. Okay, I mean, is that enough to, do you guys want to know about that kind of stuff?
We
through,
do.
Through 911?
Well, not necessarily through 911. And I think that if it's a small rock in the road or a few small rocks in the road and you can safely get around it and go down the road some ways and pull off to use your phone, we certainly want to know about these things. Now, if it's a complete road closure,
you're not going down the road. I got it.
Yeah, you're not going down the road. So, yeah, we definitely need to know about those things.
Okay. It just would kind of seem to make some sense, but I think a lot of us are hesitant.
Yes. Well, you know, and I don't think 911 is necessarily the number that you want to use all the time for that type of an event. I mean, you want to call the general number for the sheriff's office or the highway patrol.
Tougher to remember those numbers.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Can you get spanked if you use 911 for something like that?
No, okay. You can't.
I mean, as long as you're trying to be a night.
Yeah, as long as you're trying to do the right thing, definitely.
Yeah.
911's an easy number to remember.
Versus, will you get Miller down here to clear the road off in front of me? Here, I got one. Yeah.
What was that 7-digit number I was thinking of?
Yeah. No kidding. Ed, you're kind of in control also of the dogs. And the pound and the shelter or whatever we want to call it. If our pets get out, is this the right time, would you suggest, to chase, to try to find them, to look for the lost dogs? Or better to wait and they'll probably come back in if they're spooked, like with lightning or with some of the winds that are going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a kind of a case-by-case situation there. If you don't think they've gone far and you can safely go out there like during the daytime, not at night, and find them and bring them back in, that's great. A lot of times they will come back. If it's pouring down rain and it's midnight out and super dark, they don't really want you to go walking out in the middle of the street and everything, because, you know, there's other drivers on the road and visibility's low.
If your folks pick them up, and so they are at the shelter, are they in a special holding area? What do you do beyond, okay, the animal's gone, okay, better check out the shelter and see if anybody's picked him up or reported him. What do you just kind of go there and try to describe what the animal is or the license number?
Well, hopefully you have they have their licenses on them, or they have the chips in them so that we can scan them and figure out immediately who the owner is. But you can certainly call the shelter and, you know, give them a description. And even if we don't have the dog right then, perhaps, you know, it may come in later on.
Big dumb dog. Oh, we got too many of those. But you know, I think it's yours.
I think it's
KINS, you found news and information time. It's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with newly minted Lieutenant Kevin Miller. Feel comfortable yet?
I'm comfortable, yeah. Newly minted.
Newly minted, yeah.
Very good, very good. Yeah.
That explains a little sprig on your shoulder. So what responsibilities? I know the sheriff has been trying to not restructure the organization. That's not fair. But to reassign some areas of responsibility in anticipation of Measure Z dollars, but also just a better functional way of doing the job. What are you looking at for your area of, I was going to say domain, that's not your area of influence, in the north end of the county? What is it that you're seeing that's, okay, guys, we're going to have to do something about blank?
Well, I have a whole lot of responsibilities that fall underneath my umbrella up there in the north area. Essentially, if you drew a line across the county at Arcata, on the south side of Arcata, and went all the way to the county line north and east, that's pretty much the area I'm responsible for, so it's rather large. And inside of that are a whole lot of different entities and communities, and each one of them has their own unique problems and things that need to be sorted out. So,
now you've got Blue Lake,
yes,
city of Trinidad, city of, yes, that there are contractual obligations for. Does that help to stretch police presence, or does it really not have too much impact on your day to day because you need to have assigned guys or gals going through those jurisdictions?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, having dedicated deputies in those areas under a contractual agreement is a good thing. It helps us out in the long run. It puts those deputies in those communities. It allows them to get to know the community. If they weren't there, you hit the nail on the head. We'd still have responsibilities, and deputies would still have to drive through there. So, in essence, when those deputies are out there working and serving in those communities, it allows the other deputies assigned to the north area to patrol the other communities such as McKinleyville, Willow Creek,
et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I was going to hold out for Oreck. I didn't hear it, though, man. What is the significant difference for the community, or is there a significant difference, between having an assigned cop, like a beat, versus a resident deputy? Is there a big difference for, let's use Trinidad, whether you have somebody who's assigned there or somebody who is assigned there and lives there? Is there a big difference between the two?
Well, you know what? I think that it's like anything. There's pros and cons to both of those ideas. Having a deputy assigned there or having a deputy live in that community, either way, those deputies are still dedicated to that community. They get to know the people in the community. They get to get a feel for how the community works because everyone's a little bit different. So they're essentially embedded.
Can you use that term? Somehow it's really close to profile, dude.
Well, if you use it in a good way, we're okay.
So. I see. The fact that there are the major highways in the area, I would think that puts a little bit of a different twist on it for your guys, where you've still got the back roads that are county roads,
yes,
but still you got the 299 and desire to help out either CHP or the Indian police. The same thing with 101 going into those areas. The way that the territory is laid out, does that prove to be beneficial because of those major arteries and then just the small arteries off of them?
Yeah, it allows us to get around a lot quicker, obviously, in most cases. And most of those other roads that lead to other communities off of those, you know, they allow us to get to those a lot quicker. So, yeah, they're pretty beneficial.
The relationship between CHP and the, whether it's the Yurok police or any of the police that are the Indian departments, does that work out better than what a lot of folks might think otherwise?
Yes. Yes, I believe it does. I mean, we work really close with the CHP, and the CHP works really close with the tribal police departments, too, as do we.
How does the community benefit from that?
Well, I'll use the Hoopa Tribal Police as an example. By having their own police force out there, they have more of a presence than the sheriff's office would be able to, you know, have on out there. And again, these are also officers who live in that community, so they're not commuting back and forth to other places for the most part. They come on duty at their house, and they go off duty at their house right there in Hoopa. And again, I only use Hoopa as an example. But those officers, you know, for the most part, have grown up in that community most of their lives, so they have a really strong understanding of how things work, and they know a lot of the people.
Is it seamless between the various departments?
What do you mean by seamless?
Does the tribal police procedurally process the same way that you guys do, that CHP does, so that if you're all at a location, say, you're all responding to an incident, everybody's talking the same lingo, everybody kind of trains the same way, you know what they're saying when they're saying it, they know what you're going to do before you do it because of that commonality?
Yes, yeah. We're pretty much all trained the same way, no matter you know, which police academy you went through or which agency you work for. A lot of the core things are pretty universal, and it doesn't matter which agency you work for. Of course, you know, there are always small variations. You know, the state has a certain way of doing it. The county has a certain way. Municipal police forces have a certain way of doing things. So there's small, subtle differences. But when we all come together as one, generally there's no problem in communicating.
And you had us all teed up there. CHP does it their way. The Sheriff's Department does it a little bit better.
Is that what you heard?
That, well, you know, I think that's what Matt's going to talk about when he comes in this month. I'll proof it past him to let you know. KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Kevin Miller.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lieutenant Kevin Miller from Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Kevin, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there in your new area of responsibility, is airport safety, I know, you know, you're probably going to go, yeah, duh, is it still important? I mean, you look at some of the stuff that's going on, some of the stuff that isn't going on. Technology certainly has evolved over the last 12, 14 years. Do we still need to have what we have before, or is that kind of something we have to go with because we can't afford the new fancy whiz-bang screening devices and things of that nature?
I think even if we could afford the new screening devices and the latest and greatest, that we'd still have to have the level of personnel, you know, TSA personnel or, you know, sheriff's office personnel up there. I don't think that would change at all.
Is there a vulnerability at the airport?
Certainly. And it'd be even greater if you were to remove, you know, law enforcement and TSA out of there.
Is there anything that would keep you awake at night if you knew something is going to happen at a small rural airport somewhere in the country?
What do you
Some kind of a security breach.
Some sort
Somebody,
of
there was going to be an attempt made somewhere in the country.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly would have some concerns. I mean, if you don't know where it's going to be at, you don't want to let your guard down. That's the biggest thing.
So what if you had the ability to plug a hole up there, what would be the one area that you would like to be able to go, okay, that's taken care of?
Well, I'm still trying to get my, I'm still trying to learn exactly how things work up there. The airport's actually one of my newest responsibilities. I haven't had a lot of interaction with the airport security and its protocols yet and stuff. So I really don't know where the biggest weaknesses are, if there are any, but everything can always be improved on, so.
There's always a biggest. It may not be big, but it's always a biggest, yeah.
Yes.
So what kind of goals do you have for yourself for the next 6 months? What are you looking at? You go, oh, okay, now I've crossed that threshold.
I can check that off my goals box. It's been a while since there's been a lieutenant up in the McKinleyville area or in the North Bay area. So I want to get back up there and start establishing those connections. I already had a lot of them before I started this position, but I want to, develop those relationships with the various community members and the stakeholders in the North area and really just get the Sheriff's Department's message out there and start, building rapport.
Building or reestablishing?
Reestablishing is a good, a little bit of both. Reestablishing and building.
Hi, I'm a good guy, really.
No, I promise.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you.
Hopefully this is going to be more fun than challenge for you.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Kevin Miller. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Stay dry, be safe. See you tomorrow.